We left off on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph on the fifth line from the top. The Mishnah says on Daf Tes Vav Amud Aleph, "Hakore l'mapreya lo yotza." That if a person reads Kriya Shema not in the right order, he is not yotza the mitzvah. You have to read every parasha should be read in the proper order. We learned the Rambam said if you read parashas Vahayoy im Shema before parasha Shema, so b'diyeved you are yotza. Atchilu d'chachamim made a takane. You should read first Shema, then the Hayom, Shema, then the Yemen. But B'riyevit, if you read the parshas out of order, since they're not one next to the other in the Chumash, the B'riyevit one is Yotze. But within each parsha, you have to read all the Psukim in the proper order. So what happens if a person read the Psukim within one parsha out of order? So the Mishnah says on Tezvav Man Aleph, HaKore L'mafreya Lo Yotze. What if the person is reading Korah, the Torah? What if the person is reading Kriya Shema and made a mistake in the middle of the Pasuk? And then he continued. So he cannot just read over that Pasuk, that will be L'mafreya. He read the Pesukim before and the Pesukim after, and then he read the Pasuk in the middle at the end. So he read the Pesukim out of order in that parsha. And the Mishnah says, Korah v'toh, if a person is reading and he made a mistake, Yachzon amach m'shatoh, he should go back to the place where he made the mistake, and from there on, continue reading Kriya Shema. And we discussed last time, the three opinions that are quoted in Shulchan Aruch. What does it mean exactly, Yachzon amach m'shatoh? Same thing by Kriyas HaKorah, or by Haftorah, let's say somebody made it by Kriyas HaKorah. Or by Haftorah, let's say somebody made a mistake in the middle of a Pasuk. So you have to go back to the beginning of that Pasuk. That's what Tosis seems to say in Tezayin Amud Aleph, in the second Tosis. Or the Levush says in Orach Chaim that you don't have to go back to the beginning of the Pasuk, just go back to that word where you made the mistake. From that word on, you continue from there to go on. Or the Baal HaTanya says you have to go back to the beginning of that phrase. You don't have to go back to the very beginning of the Pasuk. You have to go back to the beginning of that phrase. That's the Shaila, let's say, when you're reading Parsha Zohar. So in many shuls, they follow what the Mishnah Berurah has, Achumret. Everybody always used to read Timcha's Zecher Amalek, Zecher. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Vilna Gaon that the proper pronunciation is Zecher. But everybody else says Zecher. So the Mishnah Berurah says you should lain it twice. You should lain one Zecher and one Zecher. So the question is, how do you lain it twice? Do you just say that word twice? Timcha's Zecher, Zecher Amalek, just to say the word twice? That's what the Levush would say. Or should you say, no, you have to read the whole Pasuk, and then read the whole Pasuk a second time, once for the Zecher, and once for the Zecher. Or do you say, no, like we do in many shows, you just say the whole Pasuk, and then you say, Timche, es Zecher Amolek. Then you go back to the beginning of the phrase, Timche, es Zecher Amolek. That's what the Baal HaTanya would say. These are the three shitas by Kriya Shema. If you realize that you made a mistake, you have to go back to the beginning of the Pasuk, you just go back to that word, and from there on you say it straight. You go back to the beginning of that phrase. The Achronim point out that in shuls, many shuls, there's a minhag, a practice that if the Baal Korah is learning and he made a mistake in a pasuk, that he already said the Shein Hashem in, so he has to complete the pasuk first, and then go back to the beginning. So the Achronim say that they don't know any mocha for this. They don't think that it makes any sense. Why is it that if you said a Shein Hashem in the beginning of the pasuk and you made a mistake in the middle, he mispronounced a word, he left out a word. Why should you have to finish the pasuk if you're not accomplishing anything? But if you left out a word, he said something wrong. So what do you gain? What do you fadin by completing the pasuk with the error? Maybe he'll go back either to the beginning of the pasuk or to the beginning of the phrase or to that word and correct it and go back to it. They say that they don't, the Achronim and the Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, they say they don't see any reason for that. They don't see any mocha for that.
But they say that Yeshua couldn't make a mistake because he heard it directly from
Moshe
exactly how it said.
Mm-hmm. He was Zecher or Zecher. That's the question. We don't know what.
Yeah.
So now the Gemara tells the Din on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph.
It couldn't make sense. If you made a mistake in the first place, then Hashem made it in the second place, and started the second phrase, or finished the second phrase.
If you're in the middle of a phrase when you said the Shem Hashem and the phrase as it's there, as you have said, it doesn't make any sense at all.
Well, the union is the phrase. Mm-hmm.
Maybe. So the Gemara tells a story on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph on the sixth line. Rabbi Yami v'Rabbi Yasi have a kokatrim le'ginono le'Rebbe Elozer. This was in Eretz Yisrael. There were two people, Rabbi Yami v'Rabbi Yasi lived in Eretz Yisrael, and there was Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yasi lived in Bovo.
those who lived in Eretz Yisrael had smicha, so they're called Rebbe Yami and Rebbe Yasa. And at the same time, their contemporaries who lived in Babel didn't have any smicha, because you cannot confer smicha outside of Eretz Yisrael. What we have today is just an imitation. That's a different thing. It's not real smicha. Even in Eretz Yisrael, we don't have the real smicha, because you have to have smicha Yish Mipi Yish Ad Moshe Rabbeinu all the way back, and the Masorah has been broken. So we don't have real smicha.
What's the problem?
What's the smicha for the men is a fraud. It's a very minor problem. It's not such a major problem. The smicha for the women is a minor problem in comparison to the other issues that have been brought up overall. Yeah, Nachanam. Just that it's a more obvious break with tradition apparently than everything else that they were doing. But in halacha, it's a right. That's a big problem. So the Gemara tells that this story occurred in Eretz Yisrael. Rebbe Yami, Rebbe Yasi lived in Eretz Yisrael. Have a kokatron le ginon el Rebbe Elazar. They were tying up a chuppah when Rebbe Elazar was about to get married. Rebbe Elazar was going to be the chosin. Rebbe Elazar was the talmid of Rabbi Yochanan. When he got married, so they were preparing a chuppah. They were tying together branches of from a tree to service his chuppah. Amalahu. So the chosin wasn't gonna spend time making the chuppah. So he said, "May as well go to base marriage and hear a shir." And then because he was busy, whatever, he didn't want to be masasik in making the chuppah. Let the others were making it for him. So he told the two Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yasi, he said, Adahochi v'hochi, during the meanwhile, while you're making the chuppah for me, Ezel, I will go, v'eshma milsa de bei midrash. I'll go and listen to the shiur in the base marriage. But I see, and I will return, v'yem alechu, and I will come back and tell you what the shiur was. Ozal, again, ashkechei le tana. He lived in the period of the Amorim. So how could he have met a tana? The tanaim were before Rabbi Yudah Nasi. And then after Rabbi Yudah Nasi, Rabbi Yechanan was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So how could Rabbi Elazar bump into a Tana in the base marriage? He must have been up to 150 years old. The answer is the word Tana means a person who recites braises. He's a person, not necessarily a big Talmud Chacham, a fellow who knows the braises about Peh. The Gemara has many times. Tani Tanik I made Rabbi Yechanan. Tani Tanik I made Rabbi Abo. A Tana is like a Kara. Kara means a person who knows Tanakh well, he knows Mikra well. So a Tana is a person who knows Mishnayis and braises well. So this person lived in the period of the Amoraim. Rabbi Elazar went to the base medrash and he met, he found there a Tana, the Katanika, made the Rabbi Yechanan, a person who knew Bryce's Baal Peh, was reciting the following Tosefta in the presence of Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan was the Rebbe of Rabbi Elazar. He was the Rosh Hashiva then in Eretz Yisrael. So the Bryce reads as follows, Kor Vitor, if a person is reciting Kriya Shema, Ve'ini Yodel Hechem Toh, and he doesn't know, he knows that he made a mistake. He doesn't remember how many psukim into the parsha he has gone correctly, and whether he made a mistake in the second pasuk, the third pasuk, the third pasuk, he doesn't remember. So the din is, toh b'yemtza ha-perek, if he knows he made a mistake in the middle of the perek, he doesn't know which one, is yachsa v'tchilas ha-perek. He has to go back to the beginning of the perek, maybe he made the mistake on the first pasuk. If he completed the perek, and he knows he has to start the next chapter, the next paragraph in the Kriya Shema. And he doesn't know whether he finished the first parsha and he has to start the second. Or he's finished the second and he has to start the third. Is ben perek le perek, he doesn't know where he left off, yachsa the perek arishon. He should go back to the end of the first perek and start from the beginning of the perek Hashem. What about being ksivu l'ksivu? If he knows that he said, achsavtam amaziz b'seach v'sharecha, and he doesn't remember what he got up to uchsavtam at the end of the first perek, or up to uchsavtam at the end of the second perek, so misafek, you have to go l'chumra. Yachsa l'ksivu rishon. He has to assume that he's only finished the first parasha, and he has to continue from the end of the first time that it says, achsavtam amaziz b'seach v'sharecha, at the end of Shema, not to the achsavtam at the end of the Hayayim Shema. That's the braisa in the Tosefta as the Tana was reciting it in the presence of Rabbi Yechanan. So Rabbi Yechanan used to comment when he used to read the braisas in his, when he used to recite the braisas in his presence, he would sometimes say, "Tuk Tani Lebro, go throw your braisas out, it's all wrong," and sometimes he would give a modification, it's only on such a condition, not on such a condition. So here also he had a comment on the braisa. Omale Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan told this fellow who was reciting the Tosefta that there's a condition over here. Loishanu Elo, the Brisa only applies, the Brisa is only telling us this halacha, that if he doesn't remember whether he's finished the first Achsavtam or Mezuzas Beisar V'Sharecha, or he's up to the second Achsavtam, that you have to go back to the first Achsavtam, that's only Shalai Pasach Aleman Yibu Yimeichem. That's only if he hasn't yet begun Aleman Yibu Yimeichem. But what happens, Abel Pasach Aleman Yibu Yimeichem, what if it says Achsavtam or Mezuzas Beisar V'Sharecha Aleman Yibu Yimeichem, then he starts to remember. Did I say the right? Did I finish the second parsha? And that's why I should say Takan Aman Yibu Yimeichem? Or did I only get to the end of the first parsha and say Achsavtam or Mezuzas Beisar V'Sharecha? And I made a mistake, I shouldn't have started Aleman Yibu Yimeichem. Oh, so that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. And when do you say that if he's in doubt which Achsavtam he just finished? That he has to go back to the first Achsavtam? That's only if Loi Pasach Aleman Yibu Yimeichem. He didn't continue with the next pasuk. Habu Pasach Aleman Yibu Yimeichem. But if he began the next pasuk, so then we assume Sirchei Nokat V'Yossi. We assume that he's just following his routine. Sircha means a continuation, a hemshah. He's following his own routine, and it must be that he did complete the second parsha. It's an umdinim. It's a ruba delei sekamon. The likelihood is that he did finish the two parshas, and then he's going in order. So that's what Rabbi Lozer heard when he went to the Beis Medrash, the Tosefta that was recited by the Tana in the presence of Rabbi Yochanan, with Rabbi Yochanan's modification on Tosefta. So he came back to the two friends of his who were making his chuppah, Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Yassi. Also, the Omalahu, he went back and he told them that Chiddush, what the Brisa said, what Rabbi Yochanan said. Amulei, so they thanked him for telling him the Shir, that they were unable to attend because they were busy making the chuppah for him. So they told him, if they got schar, they got reward for making a chuppah for him. But they said, even if he would have wasted the whole 2 hours now, not made any chuppah, we would have just come to hear this shtikal Torah, this halacha, we would have been satisfied, that they were happy with that din. So what is the halacha over here? It's a ruba delei sekamon, it's an umdina, that if a person, if you say, things go in order, A, B, C, D, and the person did C, and all of a sudden after doing C, or saying C, he's not sure whether he said B or not, so we assume that he must have done it the way his routine is used to. He must have done A, B, and then C.
So we have to say,
that's another thing. That's an umdina that he must have said Talamata. That's another thing. No, but here we have no umdina. Not that he's used to it. We say if he said the next, we say that if he said the next line, so he must have said the previous line. Yeah. We assume that he must have said the line before. The Taz in Yeridaya has a famous line where he has a famous psak where he quotes this gemara. It's not a tushtel. Taz has a shaila about a woman who bought the meat from the butcher, and then she cooked the meat in a pot, and then after cooking the meat in the pot, then she starts to wonder, did she salt the meat or not? Maybe she didn't salt the meat. She didn't salt the meat, so it's full of dam. So she's not permitted to eat it, because the dam, first you have to salt the meat and then wash off the dam, and then you can cook it. So all of a sudden she doesn't remember, after cooking the meat, she doesn't remember whether she salted it or not. So first the Taz quotes in the name of, he says he found an old sefer, an old anonymous sefer, that has this tshuva. We don't know if it's reliable or not. That's what he found, an old sefer that has this tshuva, that it's mutter. Why? Because there's a machlokas where the dam should be shlow. There's an Issa Daraisa or an Issa Darabana. If you take raw dam that hasn't been cooked, that's an Issa Daraisa. But dam shebishlo, if the dam is cooked, so the Gemara has a pasuk in Menachos that you cannot be zerik that dam on the Mizbeach. Dam of Karbonis is supposed to be zerik on the Mizbeach. So dam shebishlo is not kosher for Zrika Agabi on Mizbeach. Like Yayin Avushal is not good for Nisach Agabi on Mizbeach. And if you cook the flesh first, like Akkadim Eiva, he's supposed to burn Kula Kolal on the Mizbeach. So the Gemara has an Eifa. What if the guy, he doesn't want to put raw meat on the mizbeach, it's not nice, he wants to first cook it and then put it on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says that you're not yotze then. There's a din, has to be reach nichayach, have to put raw flesh on the mizbeach. Or let's say the chaylev, all korbanos, you have to be marked to the chaylev on the mizbeach. So if you cook the chaylev first and then you put it on the mizbeach, it's no good. Anything you put on the mizbeach has to be raw. The mincha has to be raw, the flour, and the shemen has to be yenem avushal, and the yayin has to be yenem avushal. Everything you put on the mizbeach has to be raw. So the Gemara says that since dam shebishlo is not kosher for zrika agabi hamizbeach, and the Chumash seems to indicate, Chumash says beferish, that the reason why the Torah forbids us from eating dam is because kol dam lo sechel v'ani nasatu lechem v'chaper al hamizbeach. That the reason why we are forbidden from eating dam is because the dam is the chelek gavoa. That's supposed to be set aside for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's only dam of karbonis. What if it's a dam from a behemah schoolin? What has it got to do with karkas on there? So this is for darshan siman pasuk that not only is dam of karbonis forbidden, even dam of behemah schoolin is also forbidden. But the reason for the isur is that dam and chelek are both designated, the both set aside as chelek shal gavoa. That's really supposed to be the part that belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if dam should be shlow, ain't no over Allah, if dam should be shlow, if dam that's cook is not kosher for zrika gami yam izbeah, so this might lead one to taina that dam should be shlow, if you eat it, you wouldn't violate an isa deraisa, it would only be an isa derabbanan. So that's a machlokas in the Gemara, menachas in the second parak, and it's a shayla and din how to paskin. Shayla and din for the Sfardi, so diwan and Sfardi shachayim how they paskin. There are more paskins clearly. The dam shabishlo is only the rabbanim. We know how we paskin. But as far as it's machlokes how they paskin, and it's generally assumed that they also follow the shita that dam shabishlo is only the rabbanim.
What about the mayim? Four.
Would it be the same this week? I don't remember the. I don't remember the Gemara discussing it. I don't know. I don't know. So we assume the halacha that dam shebishlo is only an isa derabbanan. So first the Taz says if the woman already cooked the flesh, and now the monsizach, then maybe she didn't salt it. So it's a sfeika derabbanan lakula. Worst it could be is an isa derabbanan of dam shebishlo, and she's not sure if she salted it or not. So it's only sfeika derabbanan lakula. So on that svar that the Taz quotes from this anonymous sefer, Shalom Satshuvas, an old paper he writes, Aksav Yad, the Yoshan Oishan. So on that tshuva, on that psak that he has, the shach disagrees with him. This is Simin Sanafes, Yeruday Hilkos Melicha. So the shach and his commentary on the side, in the Nekudas HaKesef, disagrees with the Taz. And he says, we never apply sfeika derabbanan lakula kineged cheska sisa. If I have a piece of meat that I bought from the butcher and I know for sure, but I took it home, the woman knows for sure that it had dam in it. She doesn't know whether she removed the dam by salting it or she left the dam in. So since this chatichas basar is becheskas isur, that we start off bringing it home from the butcher shop knowing that it does have dam, and the suffix is whether a heter has been, whether a mater has been done or not to remove the dam, that she salted, so he says you wouldn't apply this principle of sveika derabbanan lakula kineged cheskas isur. Then the Taz comes up with a new einfach. This is what he quotes from this anonymous pasuk, and he thinks that that's a good idea, that it's sveika derabbanan lakula despite the fact that there's a cheskas isur. Then the Taz comes up with his original heter, and he quotes our Gemara. So just like the Gemara says that you go in order, a person is used to a certain routine, does A, B, C, D, E. You do everything in order. So if once you reach E, the mesubik, if you've done D, so you assume sirchei nokad v'yosi, you assume that he must have done everything in order. So here also, the woman has a routine. She goes to the butcher shop. She can do it in her sleep. She goes to the butcher shop and she buys the meat. She takes it home and she rinses it off. And then she waits till it dries off a little bit, and then she salts it. And then she leaves it in the salt for an hour. And then she rinses it off afterwards under the faucet, under the water. And then after she does that, then she puts in the spices and the vegetables and so on, and she puts it in a pot. So she knows that she did eat. She cooked it already in the pot with the spices and the vegetables, so we assume that she's done everything leading up to it. That's what it does. And the Nekudas HaKesef, again, the Shach in his commentary on the side says, he's not so sure that there's a tzushta. Because when a person says Kriya Shema, so you say quickly, one pasuk after the other, so you go A, B, C, D, E. So if you said E, so you assume you must have said A, B, C, D before E. But over here he says, you don't do one after the other, one, two, three. You buy it from the butcher shop and it sits there for a while. Then you rinse it off and it sits for a while. Then you salt it and it sits for a while. It's not that you do one after the other. It's just because she cooked it, but she herself is mistook if she salted it. So why do you have the right to assume that that it's an umdin and a rubid alaysi come on, that she most probably did salt it? If she herself says that she's in doubt, why do you declare that it's a rogue? Anyway, this is the Taz quoted this people along here there. Remember this Gemara from the Taz. So it also depends, right? How long she's been doing this routine, right?
This is not a derisa.
Kriya Shema.
Yes, maybe. I mean, it could be put.
That's a shaila whether the second parsha is derisa, right? Even assuming that Kriya Shema is derisa, how much of Kriya Shema is derisa? So we paskin only the first parsha, right? That's why we paskin that if a person is davening in shul, if he's positive that the chazan is going to miss his man Kriya Shema because they're davening slowly, they're davening late, then he should say all the three parshios while it's still before the song Zman Kriya Shema. But if he's in doubt, he doesn't know whether they're going to make Zman Kriya Shema or not, so then we say Sveka Deraisa L'chumre and Sveka Derabbana L'kula. So we insist that he should only recite the first parsha when you say so it says in the Siddur that if you're in doubt and you think, if you know for sure you're going to miss Zman Kriya Shema, then you should say all three parshas. That's what the Free Yitzchak says. But if you're in doubt that you think that you may or may not make Zman Kriya Shema, then he says, you say Seika Deraisa L'chumre, you only have to say over the first parsha during the Zman Kriya Shema. But the other two are only the Rabbanon, so that you can rely on the Seika Derabbana L'kula, you rely on the assumption that you're going to make it this month. Right, so that's, we pass from that only parasha Rishayna is there. Now the Mishnah continues with a completely different din. The din is that when a person recites Kriya Shema, he has to be miskaven at least to the Pasuk Rishon, to the Pirush HaMilos and the Pasuk Rishon. He has to have in mind Kabbalos HaMachos Shemayim, he has to have in mind what he's saying. When a person davens Shemona Esrei, he has to have more kavanah. He has to have in mind Ka'odim Ha'im Lifnei HaMelech, he's standing in front of the Shechina while he's davening. So the Mishnah makes a distinction between the Kriya Shema Kavona and the Shemona Esrei Kavona. That the Shas, a person recites Shemona Esrei, we require more Kavona than for Kriya Shema. Kriya Shema, we only need Kavona for Pasuk Rishon, for the Pirush HaMilos, whereas Shemona Esrei, we need much more Kavona than that. So that's why the Mishnah draws this contrast. So Umnim, the workers who are working on a tree or the building and they're standing on top of a wall, and they're putting bricks on to make the wall higher, taller. The workers are permitted to recite Kriya Shema on top of a tree, or on top of a wall.
Scaffold.
They're permitted to recite Kriya Shema in such a condition. They're not required to go down in order to say Kriya Shema. Masha'ein and Rasha'im Lasas Kein Ditvilo. This is something that they're not allowed to do when they daven Shemon Esrei. When it comes to Shemon Esrei, they must go down and daven on the ground, because by B'sha Shemon Esrei, they have to have kavana the whole time. So if they're going to be nervous on top of the tree, that they may fall down, or nervous on top of the building, so we don't allow them to daven Shemona Esrei in such a condition. But for Kriya Shema, we do allow. So the Gemara is going to have a whole discussion on this. The Gemara quotes Tana Rabbanan. We'll leave the second half of the Mishnah till later. We'll learn the Gemara first. Tana Rabbanan, we have a Tosefta, which elaborates on this din. Korim means Korim es Hashma. They're permitted to recite Kriya Shema, even whether on top of the tree or on top of the scaffold, but they're not permitted to daven Shemona Esrei in such a state. It is parallel, but they are permitted to daven Shemona Esrei b'rosh hazayis b'rosh hateino, on top of an olive tree, or on top of a teino as a fig tree. They are permitted to daven Shemona Esrei as well, because these are apparently such solid trees that they won't be nervous at all. They can stand on top of the tree and daven Shemona Esrei and shokel all they want, and there's nothing to worry about. They won't be nervous. Or shar kol ho'ilonos, and as far as all other trees are concerned, outside of the olive tree and the fig tree, the halacha requires yodim lamato umispalim. When it comes to davening Shemona Esrei, they must go down. Kriya Shema, they may recite on top of any tree. And Shemona Esrei, we distinguish between these two trees as opposed to the others. And this whole distinction between these trees and the other trees is only legabi, the umnim, the workers. Because the halacha requires that a worker has to put in a full day's work, whatever he said. Let's say he has a job from 9 to 5, there's mechuyav to put in the whole time 9 to 5. You're not supposed to kid around, not supposed to schmooze, and not supposed to greet people. The Gemara tells in Tainis, and the Midrashim tell, the way the Tanaim were working for a living, and Greek philosophers came over to discuss topics of Hashkofa with them, to discuss philosophy and so on. So sometimes, some Tanaim didn't answer at all. They just continued doing their work. They thought that if they answer good morning, that would also take away from their concentration on their job. And others said, when they came to greet them, Chachamim came, Jewish Chachamim, and Goy Chachamim came, they would say, good morning to you, but sorry, we can't discuss the matter now. If you wait till after 5 o'clock, I'll be happy to discuss it with you. I have a job now, and I have to do the job. The halacha is that you have to put in a full day's work. The Rambam stresses so much these din. He quotes the pasuk by Yaakov Avinu. He calls him Yaakov Hatzadik. It's a strange lashon in the Rambam. We usually say Avraham Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, Yaakov Avinu. The Rambam writes. It says by Yaakov Hatzadik, Olisi b'ayom acholani chore b'terach b'loyla. That he worked by day, he worked by night, and he made sure that he put in the full day's work. So, and the Rambam quotes this Gemara that the Chachamim required of the workers that they should put in a full day's work, that they relieve them from half of the benching, that relieve them from half of the davening. It's special coolers for workers, because the halacha requires they have to put in the poel mechuyav lavad b'chol koichi. Has to put in the halacha is I have to put in kefi koichi to the best of my ability. Let's say if the boss has a company, and it used to be a little company, he used to type all the letters himself. He used to type with one finger, and it took him a long time. Then it grew and it became a big multi-million-dollar firm. So now he engaged me that I should type. So the din is, if I know how to type with both hands, I'm not allowed to say, well, if he would have done the job, he would have typed with one finger. So I'll type, he engaged me to type from 9 to 5. I can type with my both hands, I can take coffee breaks all day long. And I'll type 10 times as fast as he would, I'll type 20 times as many letters in the 1 hour a day that I work, and he could type all day long. So the din is that's not good enough. You don't have to, a poel doesn't, is not mechuyev to work as much as the balabais would be able to work. Or let's say they just got rid of a different secretary or a different worker, the other worker left, whatever, got rid of him, they left. And then they engage me. So I can't say, well, I'm much faster than the other worker, so I don't have to work so hard. I'll come in at 10 o'clock and I'll leave at 4 o'clock. And I'll tell the boss I'm working from 9 to 5, I'm putting in from 10 o'clock till 4 o'clock more work than the previous worker was putting in from 9 to 5, so they won't have any complaints. So the din is by a shomer, that's a time. A shomer who doesn't get paid, by a shomer chinu, the din is, you have to be notar kidenatri yinshi. That's how the Gemara says in the end of Bar Mitzi and Daf Tzadigina. The shomer chinu only has to watch the object to the same extent that the balabas himself would watch it. The balabas has a diamond ring, or he has sforim, whatever, he's afraid somebody's going to rob his property when he goes away, he can't be there all the time. So he appoints a gavra b'chari koi, he appoints somebody else, and instead, you watch, I can't sit here the whole time, so you watch instead of me. So I'm only mechuyev to watch to the same extent that the balabas himself would watch. Let's say, for example, the balabas himself sometimes goes down to pick up, he lives in an apartment building, he goes down to pick up the mail, so he leaves the windows open and he leaves the door unlocked, but he doesn't lock all the windows and lock the door. He goes down to pick up the newspaper in the corner, he walks out for 5 minutes. He doesn't close all the windows when he goes out. He leaves the windows open. He's not afraid that a ganav is going to come. So what if I'm a shomer chinam? So do you say I have to be more conscientious to the Baal HaBos himself, that when the shomer chinam walks out of the house for a minute, he has to lock all the doors and lock all the windows. Let's say the shomer chinam has to go to the bathroom. Has to go lock all the doors and lock all the windows and everything. Then maybe a ganav will come while during those 2 minutes that he's in the bathroom. The Gemara says, not mechuyev. That's not called a pshiya. If you don't, even though you know in advance that you could have locked all the doors and all the windows, the Gemara says you're not mechuyev to be more conscientious than the Baal HaBos himself, because the shomer chinam just means gavra, a person b'chari koi in my stead. So the shomer chinam only has to watch to the same extent that Baal HaBos himself would have watched. And the Gemara says if you know the Baal HaBos goes every day to daven mincha and he takes an hour off and he doesn't watch the animals, he doesn't watch his property, so the shomer chinam can do the same thing. He can also take off for an hour to daven mincha, and that hour that he takes off is not considered a pshiyah. But the Gemara says, what happens if he's a shomer socher? What happens if he gets paid to do the job? So not only is he a shomer, he's also a poel. If you get paid to do the job, whatever the job is, whether the job is to type letters, or the job is to answer the telephone, or the job is to be a shomer, whatever the person gets paid to do, so he has a din of a poel. A poel, the Gemara says, is a different din. That's not enough. Not a kirinatri inshi. It's not enough if he watches, or if he does the job as well as the Baal HaBos would have done the job himself, or as well as the previous worker did the job, who left because they got married or whatever. No, you have to work b'chol koichai, to the best of your ability. You have to overwork yourself till you get sick. You have to run you don't have to ruin your health, but you have to work. HaPoel mechuyev lavad b'chol koichai. That's how the Rambam quotes this halacha, based on all these gemaras. The gemara here.
Yeah, well, but if you walk in the first day and Baal HaBos said, I expect you to type 30 letters a day. You can type 30 letters a day for lunchtime. You have to type 60.
No. Usually the person is mechuyev to tell the boss that he can do much more than that. That he should tell the boss, I can do much more than that. If you want me to do some more work, I'll be happy to do it. It depends. It depends. If the boss says, I'm hiring you from 9 to 5,
If a boss is a need, hires somebody to start working, 4 o'clock in the morning go out and start picking apples from the tree. He knows that his father's going to have to die. Is he expected to stay up in the tree?
So that's what we're going to discuss. Okay, that's what we're going to get to now. So the first, so far the Braisa says about the Umen, about the worker, that because we want the worker to put in a full day's work, so we say that Kriyashma, he can say while he's on top of the tree. Ah, it's a little shaky there, he's going to be a little nervous. So we only require Kavanas Pirush Aminis on the first pasuk in Kriyashma, so Nishgefela.
Excuse me, what's the purpose of making him say, he should have to go down?
Yeah.
He's got to come down to Shemesh.
Mm-hmm.
So what do I say?
I don't know, maybe he started 4 o'clock in the morning, he's going to say Kriyashma Kivasikin. I don't know. Maybe he's going to say Kriyashma before he davened Shmones. And later he'll daven. Maybe.
This would the same apply to Kirkus Amazo, would the same apply to...
The Gemara is going to have dinim.
So there's a whole bunch of different things.
Yeah. The Gemara is going to talk about Kirkus Amazo. Ubal habayis, but what about the boss? Benkach ubenkach yorid lamato. As far as the Balabais is concerned, we don't have this kula that on top of an olive tree, on top of a fig tree, we allow the Balabais to daven Shmones. That's only a special het as far as the workers are concerned. Because we want the worker to be able to put in...
He's not working for anybody. Why should
he? Right. So one might have argued that we just said before that on top of an olive tree, on top of a fig tree, it's so safe that the worker won't be nervous. And one might argue that the boss also, self-employed, also won't be nervous. And we should allow him to daven also. We say no, it's self called self, it is a cooler. So we shouldn't allow anybody to daven on top of a fig tree or on top of an olive tree. Unless that's right. Unless you have that reason that you want the worker to put in a full day's work. Why not? Why do we insist the Balabais has to go down to daven? If he shame died to me, you share the soul. Because before self called self, we won't have a yeshiva daven. Special cooler for the worker. Rami lay, Rav Meri brought about Shmuel the Rav. Rav Meri had a kasha that he presented to Rav. Rav Meri, Rashi explains, was the son of Shmuel's daughter. What kind of yichus is that? Why don't they write what his father's name was? Gemara usually refers to him as Rav Meri Bar Rachel. Rav Meri, the son of Rachel. Why do they say, and Rachel was the daughter of Shmuel. What happened to his father? The Rashi says, the father, Nabach Yivan Agoy. Father wasn't Jewish. Shmuel's daughter was attacked by a goy, and she had a baby whose name was Mary Bar Rochel. So he couldn't call Mary Ben Jack, Mary Ben John. His father's not going, he's a Jew. So he calls Mary Bar Rochel, Mary the son of Rochel. That's how Rashi says.
That's not the only time that they mention a woman. There's other rabbis that they mention a mother.
Very rare. The Gemara has Rabba Bar Bar Chona. So the Shaila is, who is this? So we usually assume that it's Rabba Bar Bar Chana, the grandson of Chana. So the Gaonim say that it's not Chana, it's Chana. That was his grandmother. So how come he's known by his the grandson of Chana? So they say that Chana was a famous woman at that time. So instead of saying Rabba Bar Ploini, Rabba the son of Ploini, Rabba the grandson of Ploini, his father was nobody special, or his grandfather was nobody special, but his grandmother was a famous tzaddikus. So they called him Rabba Bar Bar Chana. And usually in yeshivas they don't follow the Goyim's reading. They say Rabba Bar Bar Chona. They assume that the grandfather's name was Chona, or that his father's name was Bar Chona. Usually in yeshivas they don't assume that it's Bar Bar Chana. His grandmother's name was Chana. The Goy, yeah. The guy who attacked Shmuel's daughter.
But he was the son of the Goy.
Right, right. And then the Gemara says he was a wealthy man. Rashi quotes in Baba Basu Kuf Mem Tes. His name was Isser Geir, Ushmei Isser. That was his name. His name was Isser. When he converted, they called him Isser Geir, Isser Geir. When he died, he wanted to leave all the money, he wanted to leave his Yerusha to his son, his biological son, but Al-Pidin, his son is not related to him. Because at the time that he was born, the father was a goy. At the time that the mother conceived the baby, the father was a goy. So there's no relationship Al-Pidin. So he tried to make a kinyan to leave the money to his son. And Rava happened to be holding all the money. Rava was the Rosh Hashiva, and this Issa Giyara trusted Rava. And Rava felt that it's a bigger mitzvah that the yeshiva should have the money. rather than his biological son. Mary Bar Rava didn't need the money. He'll become a businessman, whatever. He didn't need the money. So Rava didn't want anybody to tell this fellow Issa Giyara how to get around it. And Rava didn't want to visit him. Rava was afraid to visit him on his death. He said he wants Rava to come. He didn't want to come the last minute. Let other people visit. He was afraid he was going to come to visit. He's going to insist, give me the money. I want to give it to my son. So Gemara says Rava didn't show up. So Issa Giyara had to figure out on his deathbed how is he going to transfer over the money to his son. So somebody finally told him a trick how to give over the money to his son. And they made the kinyan. The Gemara says that Rava was angry.
After the whole story, he's angry.
No, it's a kinyan udisa. It's a technical kinyan. He just made a hadar that the money that Rava has never belonged to me in the first place. The money always belonged to this fellow, Mary Baracha, to my biological son. So when Rava found out about it, he had to give the money to Mary Baracha, but he was angry why one of the boys from the yeshiva told this to the area of the church. He thought the yeshiva should have had the money more than Mary Baracha.
Well, I understand
that the Mishnah
at the end of Bava Basra, right?
If you can overrule
Yerusha, why Matanu? Matan Shchemeira.
Right,
Matan Shchemeira. So, I mean, that's not a
big term. Right. So the Gemara says Matan Shchemeira doesn't work by a gear. The Gemara says that's the Gemara, but the Gemara has it by Issa gear. Matan Shchemeira works. Man, the Issa be Yerusha, Issa be Matan Shchemeira. Matan Shchemeira is a din mid Rabbanan, it's not a din mid Torah. And the din of the Rabbanim was that they treated it as if it were a form of Yerusha. So the Gemara says, but when this man dies, al pi din, nobody's going to yarshin him. It's impossible that anybody should yarshin him. So since this man has absolutely no yarshin at all, he's not related to anybody. So since he has no yarshin, so he can't even extend the Rabbanim the din of Yerusha. If somebody dies and he has a din, like if I die, so my sons get the Yerusha, the rest of the members of the family. So therefore I can change the din Yerusha with the Rabbanim to make a matan shemira kiksuvim v'chim surim dom. But this fellow, married by this Issa Giyur, who is about to die, had no din Yerusha at all in that era. So even with the Rabbanim, they can't change the din to say that a Shchemira should be able to give a matana. That's a shot exactly what that means. That's a person gives a matana Shchemira to charity. So charity can never get money by Yerusha. Charity is an institution. It's not a human being who's related to anybody. But the one who's about to die has relatives. He has children, he has cousins, he has brothers and so on. So what does the Gemara mean to say over here? Does the Gemara mean to say that if the one who's about to die cannot be morish his property to anybody, then he doesn't have a din of matan shchemira? Or does it mean that that you and I are not related b'shum oifen? Even if a million people will die in the world, even if everybody in the world will die, you will never get the Yerusha from me like Mary Barachel and Issa Giyara. Issa Giyara will never give the Yerusha to Mary Barachel, even if no one else in the world is alive. They're not related al pidin. Let's say any two people over here, if enough people die in between, so you're my 25th cousin, so you'll get the Yerusha. You're my 55th cousin, so you'll get the Yerusha. If you kill everybody else out in between. So if there's no one else around, so you can get the Yerusha. So even if the other people are alive, you can say, oh, there's a takana de rabbanon of matan shchemira. So you get the Yerusha now also. You consider it as if everybody else doesn't count. But the shaila over here is that Issa Giyara and Mary Barachel can never give the Yerusha to him. So if that's the pshat, that I can never give to this person, therefore there's no din of matan shchemira, then if a person leaves a tzavua to tzedakah, a person leaves a Yerusha to tzedakah with a matan shchemira, should also not work. There's a big machlokes in Rishonim. When it came to Yerushas, there were always big machlokes, always big law cases, lawsuits. So this was a big machlokes that the Ritva courts between the Rashba and the Ra'ah, what pshat in the Gemara is there? Whatever it is, the Gemara tells different stories in different mesichtas, have different stories about this Mary Barachel and Issa Giyara.
So once he gets married, there's no problem anymore.
Once he has children.
Once he has children. But if he gets married, his wife can be Yerusha, and if his wife dies.
No, the wife doesn't Yerusha the husband. If the only relative in the world is the wife, she doesn't Yerusha the husband.
No.
She gets a ksubit. She gets a ksubit, which is loads and loads of money, $50,000, okay? And she's entitled to remain in the home, in the house where they were living all their lifetime together. And she's entitled to mezainis. The almot is entitled to mezainis. Because mana she doesn't collect the ksuba, she's entitled to stay in that home where they live and collect mezainis for the rest of her life. But that can turn out to be the whole Yerusha, everything. It can turn out to be the whole, she can clean out the whole Yerusha. But strictly speaking, she doesn't get a Yerusha.
Capital she doesn't get. Principle she doesn't
get. Right.
She gets the income of it.
She can use up the capital also.
If there's not enough.
Yeah, if there's not enough, she can use up. If the home is still, let's say the apartment is still there, so you have to pay the rent from the Yerusha, and then she wants a mezainah, so you have to give her money for food, for clothing, to live as long as she wants, till she remarries, or till she collects the ksuba. Once she collects the ksuba, then she's not entitled to the whole business. Then she doesn't continue to get mezainahs.
If that person who died and wants to give money to the doctor, assuming in his lifetime, he said that I'd be now giving $1 to, I'm giving $1 now to that institution, and then upon my death, the rest of the $1 million that I want to give will go to that institution. But the dollar that I'm giving is like a down payment for the rest of the money that I'm going to give. Would that in any way enhance it?
No.
Still
not a yogurt.
No. So
that's not a question of yogurt. It's a question that we already started that we made a king for them already. You had
something. No, different thing. So the dollar or there? So he asked this kasha. Ramali Rav Meri, Rav Meri Barachel had a kasha to Rav. Tanan, it says in the Mishnah, Umnim Karim Barosh Ilam Barosh Hanadboch. We don't allow the workers to recite Shemoneh Esrei on top of the trees. But to say Kriya Shema is all right. Alma, what do you see from the Mishnah? Baboy Kavana. The Kriya Shema doesn't require Kavana. If we need Kavana, it should be the same as Shemoneh Esrei. For in Minhin, this contradiction is we have a Brisa. Kari Es HaShema. One is reciting Kriya Shema. Tzor Sheyichav in a sleep boy. Estab Kavana. Shenem HaShema Yisrael. Lalahalan Ho'imer. Haskes HaShema Yisrael. The word Haskes means pay attention. Malahalan. Just like in the Pasuk in Dvarim where it says Shema Yisrael, it says first Haskes. Malahalan Bahaskes. Just like over there, Shema means with Haskes means with paying attention. Avkama Haskes, here too, when you say Kriya Shema, you have to pay attention to what you say. So you have to pay attention. So just like you can't have Kavana for Shema Esrei, so you shouldn't be able to have Kavana for Kriya Shema either if he's standing on top of the tree.
Why can't you say Kriya Shema can just sit in any position, sitting or standing,
right, you see that you need more kavana for Shemana Esrei, right? But the shaila is, you need more kavana for Shemana Esrei.
A person can sit on a tree and have kavana, he can't stand on the tree and have kavana.
Oh, he shouldn't sit on the tree.
No, right. Kriya Shema does not require left or whatever, he can do it anyway he wants to. Standing on a tree is a little more difficult than imagine sitting on a tree.
With Tasha?
To go on it anyway.
Yes, except for Kriya Shema you can sit.
If you sit,
you're going to have the full cover.
Maybe
I don't know.
Just sitting on the tree. But you can say Shimon is, but you can say Kriya Shema is standing also.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
But he's saying, since he can sit, so what's the contradiction? Let him sit. So have the full kavanah. So Hatchila, he's supposed to stand for Shemoneh Esrei. The person davening Shemoneh Esrei sitting down is also Yaitzchak.
You can't have the tree because you're worried it's going to fall.
No,
you're sitting or you're standing, you're still...
No, but Itayin is, why is that a steerer? Say that with respect to Kriya Shema. He says it's sitting, so he's not so nervous. So he has the full kavanah. I don't know. It's a good time. This is what he asked the kasha. I don't know. Why did he say that as a term?
He's on the tree. He must be safe. He must be standing doing his work. Why can't he stay when they're so standing? He's working on the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
He's standing there to do work. He's not sitting. He's standing.
Right.
If he can stand cutting the tree or whatever it is, why can't he stay stationary?
Morris says that he's so nervous on top of the tree, except for the zayas, except for the olive tree and the fig tree. He'll be so nervous, he won't be able to pay enough attention to the Shemoneh Esrei. And you daven Shemoneh Esrei, you have to pay more attention. So the Gemara presents this kasha. How can you allow him to say Kriya Shema on top of the tree when you don't allow him to say Shemoneh Esrei? It means that Kriya Shema doesn't need kavana. You have a brisa that says it. You should have kavana. Ishtik. So Robert didn't know what to answer. Amalei, so Rameri Barachel asks him, Bidi Shmielach Baha. Did you hear any teretz on it? Amalei, Hachi Yomar Rav Sheish, he says, yes. Heard in the name of Sheish is the following comment. When we allow the worker to recite Kriya Shema on top of the tree, it doesn't mean that he's doing his work while he's saying Kriya Shema. He's not permitted to do work while he says the Kriya Shema, and that's enough kavana for Kriya Shema. Shemoneh Esrei, you need more kavana. For Kriya Shema, you need less kavana. Not that you don't need kavana at all, you need less kavana. Aye, but we have a brisa frek di gemara, but we have a brisa b'silamim oskim emalachtam the korim. We allow you, Basil, allow you to recite Kriya Shema even in the middle of doing your work. So it contradicts what he just said in the name of Rav Sheish. Moses says, Loikasha, have a perek rishon, have a perek sheni. What does it mean? So the Pashup Shat in the Gemara is, the perek rishon, you need kavana because it's the right. So the perek sheni, the hoyam shamoa, you don't need kavana because perek sheni is only the rabbana. So Taisi says it's not exactly correct. Lab dat kenokat perek rishon, because we pass in la locha that you only need kavana for pasuk rishon. So Tosa says that you would only need kavana for pasuk rishon Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad Baruch Shem Kvod Melechus Elohim Avod. So those to the first pasuk in the Baruch Shem, when you need kavana, you're not permitted to be yosek b'melachta. But even for v'yahavta Hashem Elokecha, since you don't need kavana, it's perish amilus for that. So you may be yosek b'melachta. That's how Tosa's paskens. And the Rambam and the Rif paskin that. So they quote the Gemara Kitzurosei, and they assume that these are two dinim. Kavana, perish amilus, is only needed for the first pasuk Shema Yisrael and for Baruch Shem. And for the rest of the perugishma from Vehafta till the end of the Kriyashma, you do not need Kavanas Pirush Amidas, but still the Rambam and the Rifo that if you're going to recite the first perug while you're racing b'malachtecho, so it's a lack of kriya bikvius. It's not a serious kriya. It's kriya rois. So we don't allow kriya rois in the perug rishon. In the pasuk rishon and baruch shein, you need kavanas pirush amilas. And in the rest of the perug rishon, you don't need kavanas pirush amilas, but you still need that it shouldn't be kriya rois. And in the other two prokim, the second and the third perug, v'hayoyim shmoy and vayomer, even kriya baroi is also good. You're permitted to recite the second and the third perug of kriya shma while you're rois from lachta. Of course it enhances the Kriya Shema if the person has Kavanas Pirush Amilas from the beginning to the end, and if he has Kriya Bikriyas for the whole Kriya Shema. The thing is that it's not Miyake video.
Didn't we learn a while back that there are some Rishonim who have the opinion that the whole Kriya Shema is Midoraisa?
The Rambam's opinion, right, that all three Prokhim are Midoraisa. We still know that you don't require Kavana for more than the Pasuk Rishon. The Ramban said the only reason why Pasuk Rishon alone needs Kavana and the rest not is because only Pasuk Rishon is Derais. There were four different opinions. What's Derais and what's Rabbana? The Ramban's opinion was that Shema Yisrael is Derais and the Yahakta is only the Rabbana. And Pesach Shita is not the whole Parsha Rishon is Derais, and that's how we pass it. By the sake of the Derais of the Chumra, if you're going to daven in the Minyan and you don't know whether the Minyan will make Zman Krishma or not, if you're sure that they will not make Zman Krishna, then you say all three parshiyas before Sabbath Zman Krishna. If you're not sure that you think that they may or may not make it, then we are machmir that you have to say the parsha Rishayna during Zman Krishna because Sveika the Rais of the Chumra. And the second and the third parshiyas, I want to consider the Rabbanan. So you say Sveika the Rabbanan the Kula, you assume that you will make it. That's how we pass them, like Tensis, the parsha Rishayna is the Rais. Then other Rishayna hold that the first two parshiyas are the Rais. Third parsha is only the Rabbana that you should have. Zechiris Yitzias Mitzrayim is the Rais, but you have to read the Afka parsha. That's only the Rabbana. And the Rambam says no. Rambam writes, what is Kriya Shema consist of? All three parshiyas sounds from the Rambam. They're all three parshiyas are the Rais. Right? Those are the four shittas. What the Rambam does with the dip, that's what he holds. You only need Kavanas Pirush Amidas on the first Rishon, even though everything is the Rais, and you only need Kriya Bikriyas on the parsha Rishon, even though everything is the Rais. That's what he holds. We have a klal that whatever is good b'di'evet, you're permitted to do b'shas hadchak l'hatchila. B'shas hadchak to the evet domi. So when we get to the poel, we treat it like a shas hadchak because we want them to put in, they have a conflict. On the one hand, we want them to put in a full day's work for the boss, and on the other hand, we want them to recite Kriya Shema with the proper kavanah. So we say, but by them it's a shas hadchak. So we say, whatever would normally only be allowed b'di'evet, we allow them to do l'hatchila. So we give all the kulas possible.
Once he accepts the job,
it's an isek zayla. I mean, why was he allowed to take the job in the first place? That he should work such strenuous hours all day long, that should affect his ability to fulfill Kriya Shema Bishlei Musa, to fulfill the mitzvah in its fullest sense. I don't know. The Gemara seems that it doesn't pose a problem. I don't know. But it more continues with the dinim, the special kulas for poelim, because we want them to put in a full day's work. Tanu Rabbanan, we have another tesefta. Ha-poelim shahoyu oisim malach ha-itza balabayis. Poelim who are working for a living and they have to daven also korim Kriya Shema. They recite Kriya Shema, that's a mitzvah. Mevarachim lefoneh holi achreo. They have to say birchas Kriya Shema before and after. And they daven Shemar Nasri also. The Mishnah said they have to go down from the tree to daven on the ground. They don't daven on the tree. Ve'ochlem pitam. You don't say they're not allowed to eat their meals. It's understood that they're allowed to take off coffee break every hour. They're not allowed to take, but to take off time to eat the meal is mutter. It says in the Shulchan Aruch that b'zman hazeh we mekel on all these. Mekel amachma means that we mekel. We assume that the boss is not so makbid b'zman hazeh. He doesn't want his full day's work, dafka from 9 to 5, and just barely enough time to say Kriya Shema with the brachas and the kitzim limits. He assumed that the bosses today are not so makbid. They let you daven and they finish the whole daven with the lein with the shir shayom. Just it says. That's another thing. Yeah, that's a different thing. There's no isek zayla. That's a different thing. Yeah.
But a lot of people don't want to take the time of the children, no?
As much time as it takes to eat a little bit. Yeah. 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 So the Brisa continues, Ochel and Pitam, they're permitted to take off time from work and eat their meals. And Mevorchim Lefanecha, Uli Achareha. And they say a bracha before they eat the food, and they say a bracha after they eat the food. Mispalam tfila shel shmoyne esrei, they have to damash shmoyne esrei also. You might insist they have to say havineinu, maybe you have to say they have to say an abridged shmoyne esrei. It says no. Mispalam tfila shel shmoyne esrei, they say the whole long version, like we say the whole shmoyne esrei. Havleina yard mil lefnei ateva, but they don't have chazoras hashatz. That they shouldn't do. They should just daven once. There's a shia, right? If it's all on, even if they're all on a tree, they're harvesting, they're planting, whatever. They're doing work on a farm, on a field, whatever. They're working in an office. They work on computers in an office. So the deal is that they can daven, but they're not allowed to have chazoras hashatz. Today we assume that the boss wouldn't be makan on chazoras hashatz. If they're going to take off an hour to learn daf yomi, that the stomach of the boss would be makan. A little bit work they have to do. Yeah?
Can we follow up concerning the maximum number of hours from the labor of working day?
There are no halachas what the maximum is. The Gemara just says if I engage the worker and I didn't say what the hours are. So the Mana Mishnah, the Umdina is that it means from sunrise till sunset, which is a long day. unless the boss said explicitly more, or the boss said explicitly less.
According to the place where
whatever the minigam dina, whatever the minigam dina is, and if you don't know what the minigam dina is, then the Mishnah says you assume. And the days of the Mishnah, you assume that it's from sunrise to sunset, which today we wouldn't assume. No, every day. Every day, if it's in the summertime, from sunrise to sunset, in the wintertime, from sunrise to sunset. That's how the Mishnah says. It depends on whatever the minigam din is, or if they said explicitly more or less. So whatever they specify. So this Brisa says that the workers are permitted to take off time to daven shacharis and mincha, whatever, but not to have chazaras hashatz, and not to duchen. They ain't noisim kapem. They're not allowed to duchen. The din is that you're really supposed to, what does that do with duchen? We only duchen on Yom Tov. What's going on? So the answer is no. The din really is you're supposed to duchen once a day, every day. If you have to duchen once a day, every day, so how come we don't duchen every day? How do we allow the workers not to duchen every day? So the answer is that the klayim to duchen once a day, every day, if they're called upon to duchen. If you order them, Kohanim, we tell them, we want you to duchen. If you ask for the bracha, then they're obligated to give the bracha. If they don't ask, if the Israelim don't demand the bracha from the Kohanim, then they're not mechuyev to duchen. So the din is that the workers are not permitted to duchen, so the din is that you don't call upon the Kohanim. Let's say one of the workers is a Kohen, so the others should not call upon him to duchen. Why don't we duchen every day? That's a big, deep, dark secret. Nobody knows exactly what the reason why. And Shulchan Aruch, they say different reasons. But yes. They say we're in a hurry, it wouldn't be a havo. The Kohanim have to give the bracha with a full heart. It won't be with a full heart because the Kohanim are in a rush to go to work. Or the minig was in some places that the Kohanim would go to mikveh before they were duchen. So all week long they wouldn't go to mikveh, they only went to mikveh for yontif. Well, they give different reasons, that the Kohanim are worried about the Chekaparnose, they're worried about all kinds of different things, so they're not in a good mood. And on Yom Tov, when they eat more, so they're in a happier mood. They give different reasons. It's every reason is more difficult than the other reason. That's why they tell that the Vilna Goyen in Vilna, Rav Nosson Adler, the Rebbe of Sam Sefer, when they lived in Frankfurt, both, they lived pretty much the same time, they were contemporaries, both were interested in reinstituting, both in Frankfurt and in Vilna, duchening every day. So as the story goes, that in both cases something turned up unexpectedly and their plans were ruined. That the shul burnt down in Frankfurt and then something else happened in Vilna, I forgot already what. And in both places they weren't able to do it. So they both took it independently, they both took it as a simon min hashamayim, that they should leave the minig the way it is. And in chutzlots you don't duchen every day. You don't know exactly what the reason is, you don't really have a very good reason. But in Eretz Yisrael, in most places they do. They follow the Talmidei Agroa. Are the ones who made the Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, so they have to follow the Shittas HaGrah, that it's right, the proper thing is to duchen every day. And in Chutz Lo'etz it didn't work, to duchen every day, but in Eretz Yisrael it does work. The shuls don't burn down, so that's why in Eretz Yisrael they duchen every day. But if they call upon the Kohanim to duchen, then they are mechuyev to duchen, even in Chutz Lo'etz. Things that we don't call upon them to duchen, we don't call upon them, so he's not mechuyev.
If I give you a house and you ask, I would have to bench, I would have to bless the Baal Bash, wouldn't this be the same thing? If I have people working for me, they're giving me also a brush when they're doing this.
either.
I mean, if you're paying for the meal.
I'm paying for it. They're giving me a bracha for the thing. Is there
no. Harachman Yivrochas Balabais, that means the one who pays for the food. But if I have a job, and he pays me so much salary, and part of the salary is that he gives me meals also.
That's mine.
So that's mine. I'm the Balabais. I'm working. That's a real din that you have to give a bracha to the balabais, to the one who's paying for the meal. Many yeshivas, the mezalza, they don't see any harachmas. They just get to the elamayi chasreinu. They don't say the harachmas, and they claim, oh, they follow in the footsteps of the Vilna Gaon, that the Vilna Gaon didn't say harachmas. It's not true. The Vilna Gaon said harachmas just on Shabbos and Yontif. He didn't say all of the harachmas. He only said the first three. Rachman yirachalena liyavah barachmas barachmas shmaros harachmas talach lebeldom is probably not such a sachem. The next one is rachman if rachman who you find the same in the chovet at tchina and parnosa and shamus and yontif. So he said you're not allowed to say tchina and parnosa. Let's talk baruch aleinu in the Shemana Esri. You're not permitted to say the middle brachas of the Shemana Esri. You're not allowed to ask for your own bakashas tzarochim. For gashmi is tzarochim tzarochim. So that after the first three harachmans, he left out a few harachmans. Still a rachman. Who is okay? How do you say the one for Shabbos? That you can say. And then from there to the end, you can say. So he left out the middle ones. Not that he didn't say. Not that the goy never said harachmans. On Shabbos and Yontif, that's what it says. On Shabbos and Yontif, the goy left out the middle harachmans after the first three. But if he ate by somebody else, you mechuyav medina to say the tefillah for the balabai. That's both on Shabbos and on the weekdays. That's a real din. Some rishonim hold that it's a din deraisa. It's derived from the pasuk. Who is Es L'Rabbis? They say Es L'Rabbis Balabai. Some Achrayim say it's an Asmachta. And some Achrayim say it's not an Asmachta. It's a real din deraisa. That's a real din. You have to say Harachman for the Balabai. Balabai means the one who pays for the food. The one who is inviting you to eat. But if I have a job and the boss has to give me a salary and he has to give me the food, that's part of the deal. See, he's not the Balabai. I'm the Balabai. I'm working for the meal. So the Gemara quotes a brisa that has all the details about the workers. So it says that they're permitted to daven, but they're not permitted to have chazaras hashatz, and they don't have duchening. Yet, the mail, if you're not having chazaras hashatz, you can't have duchening. You can only have duchening at the conclusion of chazaras hashatz. So the mail, the duchening is kind of. It means, let's say, even if by mistake they did have chazaras hashatz, so they shouldn't say, well, since we have the chazaras hashatz, we may as well duchen also. So the answer is no. Don't call out for the, if you're going to call out kohanim, you're going to order the kohen to duchen. So far, then they're going to have to do it, and otherwise they'll violate the mitzvah deraisa of Kosev Baruch Hu. But the mission is, the Braisa says, don't call upon them to do it. You don't call upon them to do it, so they don't. So not mechui. So in the one Braisa it says that the workers can daven Shemana Esrei. They just don't say Chazaras Hashatz, but they say the whole long version of the Shemana Esrei, like we said. But we have a contradiction. We have another Braisa that says that the workers only say May Ein Yudchetz. They say the abridged form of Shemana Esrei. That's how we name it. They don't say the whole Shemana Esrei. Havineinu is a Shemana. There's a Machlokes HaTanaim with this Havineinu. Havineinu runs like this. The Shemana Esrei consists of three parts. You have the Gimel Rishonos till Akel HaKadosh. That's the first three brachas. Every Shemana Esrei begins with the first three brachas till Akel HaKadosh. Then you have the Gimel Achronos, the last three brachas that begins with Ritzei till the end of the Shemana Esrei. And then you have the middle of the Shemana Esrei. Now the middle of the Shemana Esrei on Shabbos consists of one bracha. And on Yom Tov also consists, Yom Kippur and Song consists of one bracha. And then on the weekdays consists of many brachas, and on Rosh Hashanah consists of three brachas, Malchus, Achron, and Shofar. The middle always changes, and on the Tanis Tzibur you have different. So the middle brachas, the Tanoim have a special nusach. Middle brachas start from Atochenu, Radam Dasam, Lamilein, Shvino. So that's Havineinu, Hashem, Elokeinu, how does it go? Adas derachecha. I don't know. Havineinu begins with, it's an abridged form of the whole Shemona Esrei, and it has just two or three words for every bracha. It has the theme of each and every bracha in this Havineinu, and it concludes with Shemea Tfilah. So the Havineinu Shemona Esrei, the Havineinu form of the Shemona Esrei, requires that you should say. Does this have Havineinu? The abridged form of the Shemana Esrei has to go like this. The first three brachas of Shemana Esrei you have to start off the same way.
At the end.
The first three brachas you have to say till Akel HaKadosh. Ah. The rich form of the Shemoneh Esrei says on page 97, this is used when one is unable to recite the complete Amidah. For example, let's say Rachman Letzlan, somebody's very sick in the hospital and he's going to stand up to say Shemoneh Esrei. It'll take him 2 hours. He can't pronounce the words. So it says in the Mishnah Berurah, then everybody agrees that he should say Havinenu. What does Havinenu consist of? It doesn't explain here. It says on the bottom. It says on the bottom of the page. What? Okay, but here it has on the bottom of the page, on 97. So it says here you have to say the first three brachas till Hakel HaKodesh. Then you say Havinenu Shemakenu, Adas Derechech, and so on till Shamea Tefillah, which has the abridged form of each and every one of the brachas. Then after Shemea Tefillah, then you say Ritzei Hashem Akeinu until the end of the Shemoneh Esrei. So if you have a very big Shas HaTchak, everybody, let's say Achoyle just can't spend so much time davening Shemoneh Esrei, then we allow the person to say this abridged form of Havinenu. What if the person is not the Shas HaTchak? What if he has all the time in the world? There's nothing to do. He just, instead of saying the long Shemoneh Esrei, he wants to say Shemoneh Esrei quickly. So did the Chachamim institute two options over here? You can either recite the long form or the short form, and you get to the same result, you have Davin Shemoneh Esrei. Or do you say no, that this short form was only instituted by the Chachamim for a Shas HaTchak situation? So that's a Machloikis HaTanoim. So the Gemara now presents the Machloikis.
If you just say that a Bar-Lam always considers Shas HaTchak anyway,
right, that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. In a certain sense, we treat it like a Shas HaTchak. Right. With respect to the Kriya Shema, we allow them to do Lechat Chila, but we would only allow B'di Yedid, because Shas HaTchak and Yedid done it. With respect to the Kriya Shema, we do. Now the Gemara wants to know how much of a Shas HaTchak is it. Do we consider it such a Shas HaTchak that we even allow them to make the abridged form of the Shemoneh Esrei? So the Gemara presents V'Hatanya, the first brisa says Mispalim Shemoneh Esrei, they say the whole long form of the Shemoneh Esrei, and the second brisa says they say the abridged form, the Yen Shemoneh Esrei. Omer Rav Sheish is Loikash, Rav Sheish says no contradiction. It's an old Machloikas, Ha Rabbi Gamliel, Ha Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua says anybody who wants can say the abridged form. So the Poelim can also say the abridged form. And Rabbi Gamliel says that it's very difficult for him to recite the Shemoneh Esrei. So then the workers, there's no great Shas HaTchak, so we insist they should recite the Shemoneh Esrei. Freg the Gemara Kasha and Rav Sheish, is that the real answer to this apparent contradiction? He Rabbi Yeshua, if the second brisa follows Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, who says that you can always say the abridged form of the Shemoneh Esrei, you're always allowed to say Havinenu. Why does the brisa say that the Poelim say Mayan Shemoneh Esrei? They should say that anybody who wants can say Mayan Shemoneh Esrei. Why not say that here the Poelim are obligated to say the abridged form? If anybody always had the option of saying the abridged form, to say that the Poelim are Mechuyiv to, I don't know. The Kasha, but that's what the Gemara holds, that this Teret, the Pshat of Rav Sheish, is no good. Elder the Gemara says that getting paid for the job. If they work and the only tashlum and the only salary they get paid is that they get the meals, that's the whole salary they're getting. The boss is just going to give them the meals, so they're not getting paid so much. So then we assume that the boss can't insist that they should work their heads off, they have to work so long. Then we say you can say the whole long form of the Shema. getting paid for the job. If they work and the only tashlum and the only salary they get paid is that they get the meals, that's the whole salary they're getting. The boss is just going to give them the meals, so they're not getting paid so much. So then we assume that the boss can't insist that they should work their heads off, they have to work so long. Then we say, you can say the whole long form of the Shema Nesra. Nishgefel, you can take a coffee break. If he's paying your bupkis. He just gives you the meals in the middle of the work, and that's all. He doesn't give you any money to take home with you. So then you're permitted to take off more time to daven in the long form of the Shema Nesra. But if the Rosim Bischoram, if they not only get the meals, they also get a salary in addition to the meals, so then you are getting paid. So then Allah says that even Rabbi Gamliel would insist on you that they're allowed to say the short form of the Shema Nesra. Why? We do consider it a Shas Adchak. That's what Igmar suggests now. We do consider it a Shas Adchak. Just like we said that it's a Shas Adchak, so we allow you to be Yosik B'Malachtecho while you're reciting the second and the third partial of Kriya Shema, which normally is only good B'Di'evit, L'Chatchila, we don't allow it. But for the Poelim, we allow it L'Chatchila because Shas Adchak B'Di'evit Domi, so we allow even L'Chatchila. So here too, the Gemara says in this Teretz that Rabbi Gamliel says that normally a person is not permitted to say the abridged form of Shema Esrei unless he has a Shas Adchak Godel. So here by the Poelim, we consider it even a Shas Adchak Godel. And where do we ever find that the Halacha should distinguish between how much money the workers are getting paid? That if they're getting a normal salary, then we treat it like a Shas Adchak Godel that they have to put in every minute into the job. If they're getting paid bupkis, the boss is just giving them the meals. He's giving them free meals for the work that they do, so since he's hardly paying them anything, so then they're allowed to take off more time. We find such a parallel. And Mar says, V'hatanya, and we find such a brisa that such a distinction is made. And with respect to a different halacha, Poelim Shayosim Halacha Etz HaBalabayis, workers who work for somebody else, they're not self-employed. Korim Kriyashma U'mispalim V'yochum Pitam. They're allowed to take off time to say Krishma, to daven, they eat, they're allowed to take off time to eat the meal. They mevarchim lefanel. And they don't say hamotzi before they eat the bread. They don't say a birchas hanenin. Since the need for birchas hanenin is only midrabbanan, so they're not permitted to waste an extra minute from the boss's time to say the bracha al hamotzi. The Vilna Gaon doesn't like that girsi. He says, how long does it take to say hamotzi lechem in haaretz? He says such lange kavonis. He says such a long bracha. So he crosses out, he changes the girsa. He says the girsa in the Tosefta is... Yeah, why do you have to wash? You must wash, yeah. Yeah, but he said, the Bryce says, we have it, says, you don't say Hamaitzi Lechem and Haaretz before you eat your sandwich, because the Hamaitzi is a waste of the boss's time. You're not permitted to take up the boss's time. The Takona of reciting Birchas Hanenin is only with the Rabbanon. So hey Momer, hey Momer, so they lifted the requirement if you're a worker working for somebody else. That's the girsa that we have. And the Vilna Gaon claims that the other girsa is more correct. He likes the girsa that you do say the Birchas Hanenin, you do say Hamaitzi before you eat it. And the Shulchan Aruch, they don't quote either one way or the other. They don't quote this whole issue. But they say Hamaitzi or not. They assume that for sure you say Hamaitzi. But we don't have such bosses today. It should be so makbid that the worker shouldn't take off another half a minute to say Hamaitzi left and off. So they leave out the whole issue. They don't say yes or no. They assume, of course, he's going to say Hamaitzi. He's not going to ask a Shaila. They say Hamaitzi. So the Bryce as we have it says that they don't say a bracha shalafana because bracha shalafana is only with the Rabbanah. What about the benching afterwards? So if the person ate kidei sviya, then he's obligated to bench b'chus ha'mazim in ha'tar. V'chalta b'savata v'rachtas ha'shem l'kecho. Ava mevorach l'achareo. But they do have to recite the benching after eating the bread. But how much of the benching is minatayra? It's not all minatayra. So we have in the b'chus ha'mazim four brachas. The first bracha is called Hazan, Birchas Hazan. The second bracha is called Birchas Haaretz, Al Haaretz V'Al HaMazon. Third bracha is called Bnei Yerushalayim. And fourth bracha is Hatov V'Hameiviv. So the Gemara says later in the Mesichta that in Shlosh HaShachlu, the Gemara says that the first three brachas are in the Torah. When the man came down from heaven, so they had a bench Birchas HaMazon when they finished eating the man. So Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who composed the Nusach of Hazan as Hakom, the first bracha. Didn't have Koma Pesach HaSedechem as Bil Chol Chai Rotzon. That's in Kulim. He didn't have that line. That line, according to Nusach Sfar, was added on after David HaMelech composed the Kulim, after he wrote Ashrei. But the Gemara says, in later on in Perek Shlosh HaShachlu, that Moshe Rabbeinu composed the Nusach of the first Brach. Then when they entered into Eretz Yisrael, and they had to thank the Rabbanu Shalom for giving them Eretz Yisrael, so Shul Benun composed the second Brach. No, the Lucho Ashen Chatma was saying, Eretz Chaim Yitoy Baruch Hava. before they came into Eretz Yisrael, it was just a promise. Moshe Rabbeinu, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they didn't say, pass the first bracha. What are we going to thank the Rabbeinu Shalom for the promise that he's going to give Eretz Yisrael? You only thank after it's delivered. You thank a little bit after the promise also, but the real thanks is after the matan is delivered. That's how they say B'Shem Rab Chaim, that he commented on the pasuk. Can we say at the end of Hoidu? Ani b'chazdu chavatachti. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises that he's going to do something good for us, so we have bitachon that he's going to do it. Yogi libi b'shua secho, I'm very happy when Yeshua comes. Ashir al Hashem, and when do I thank the Rebbeinu Shalom? Kigom al Aloy, when he delivers the goods. When he gives me the Yeshua. You don't say halal when you have a promise that things are going to be good. If it's already delivered, then you thank the Rebbeinu Shalom. So that's what the Gemara says later, that Moshe Rabbeinu had all the promises that they're going to get Eretz Yisrael, but it wasn't delivered yet. So the only one who started saying, no delicho, nazonis haloretz v'alam ozom, was Yeshua ben Nun. He composed that Nusach HaBrach. And then, in the days of David and Shlomo, when they started to prepare for the Binya Beis HaMikdosh, and then when they actually built the Beis HaMikdosh, then they composed the Nusach HaBrach of Arach Mashal Apen, Yisrael, Arach Mashal Amirach, Atziyun Mishkan Kodach. The bracha for the Beis HaMikdosh, and it ends off whatever Rachma Yerushalayim Mameh, we praise the Rebbeinu Shalom for giving us Yerushalayim. Then HaTayva HaMeitiv, the Gemara says these three brachas are the Araisa. The Araisa doesn't mean that when the day that the Torah was given, all three brachas apply. All the three are the Araisa whenever they can begin to apply. So the bracha for the food began right away in the Midbar. The bracha for Eretz Yisrael only began when they crossed over the Yarden and they got Eretz Yisrael and they received the Matana. And the bracha for the Beis HaMikdash only began, this din the rice only began, after they were given the Beis HaMikdash, after they began to prepare and they built the Beis HaMikdash. The fourth bracha has no source at all in Chumash. That's called Hatay Ba'Meitiv. The Gemara says B'Yavna Tiknu. That was later. That was later Takon.
It will be, but still,
you have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Haftacha. You thank him. It's a certainty, but you only say the Shira, you only say the great praise and the great thanks after it's finally delivered. When it's only promised, then you only give a light thanks. That's the halacha. The halacha is like that.
It has to do with nais. You
can say halal because the nays happens, right? Not necessarily. You can say halal for Yeshua. It doesn't
have to be a nays. For Yeshua and nays, well,
the nays
didn't love you. Oh, yeah. So after something had happened, that's when you say halal, not before.
Well, the shahad is, what if it was promised in advance that something good is going to happen? Do you say halal already? So the din is at not. You don't say halal till it's actually delivered. You thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the Psura Toivo, that something good is going to come. But you don't say the actual Shira and the actual Halal until it's finally delivered. So the bracha of HaTayva HaMeitiv, which is only midirabbanon, that the workers have to leave out completely. That's what the Braisa says. And the Gemara says later a proof that HaTayva HaMeitiv is only midirabbanon, Teida. The Gemara proves, Rabbi Kivega on the bottom of the Daf quotes, Ayin Lekamon Daf Mem Vov Amin Aleph, he quotes the Gemara, where the Gemara says, Teida, you should know that HaTayva HaMeitiv love the Raisa, it's only midirabbanon, how do you know? The fact that the workers don't recite it must be based on the fact that it's only Midei Rabbanon. If it were Min HaTorah, how can the Chachamim delete it? How can they tell the workers to leave it out? So it must be that it's only a bracha Midei Rabbanon HaTayva HaMeitiv, so they said the workers can leave it out. But then not only do they leave out HaTayva HaMeitiv because they don't want to have, they certainly leave out all the Harachmans. The workers leave out the Harachmans. That's why in yeshivas, supposedly, they don't say Harachman because of Bittul Torah. That's what they claim. Just like the workers are not allowed to say HaTayva HaMeitiv because of Bittul Malacha and Harachman, certainly not. So Nishivis, they say it's a Bittul Torah. No, if you're going to sit, if you're going to run back to learn Gemara right away, it's a good cheshb. Mamashapayah. So the din is that HaTayva HaMeitiv they don't say at all.
So they say Shvayah.
And the other two from the three that are Menatayrah, the first one is composed by Moshe Rabbeinu, that's the Raisa. The second one, Noyd Elucho, is composed by Yeshua Ben Nun, is the Raisa. And the third one, the Gemara says, is composed by David Shlomo, that it's also the Raisa. The Gemara says, you don't say all three. You say the first one, Hazonos HaKol. At a deference to Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't tamper with his Nusach HaBrachah, so we say the whole Hazonos HaKol. And the second and the third brachas, although they're also min haTorah, noyde l'chor, and rachem al Yisrael amecha till boinim rachem Yisraelim amein, those two we combine together into one bracha. Special for the poilim. We combine the second and third bracha into one in order to take up less time. That's what the brisa says. Apoilim shorei is a malacha, it's a balabayis, they say kriyashma, they daven, they were allowed to eat. They don't say hamoitzah, they don't say they do say hamoitzah, two girses, but they do have to bench. Benching is min haTorah. And after the meal is over, they only say two brachas instead of four. Which are the shtayim? Ketzad. Exactly how do they do that? Bracha rishona kitikuna. The first bracha they say in its entirety. And shniya, and the second and the third, they do like this. Pasech bebirchas haaretz. They start with noyde l'cho. And they end off with v'kol alim b'nei Yerushalayim bebirchas haaretz. And they blend in the third bracha into the second in order to make an abridged form. And then the brisa continues, Bamedvar Mamurim, when are we so stringent that they have to put in every minute of their day into work for the boros and have to leave at Ateva Metiv? And they abridge the second and the third bracha by combining it together. And the Giris and the Tesefta that we have in Mars, that they don't say Hamotzi Lechem Haaretz, they have to make everything the kids. So that's only if they're being salaried, Brisim Bischara. If the boss is paying them. Avo, what if the boss doesn't pay them anything? Avo, loisim visudasam. But if all he pays them is the meal, that's the whole payment, is just that they get a meal, so they're getting paid bupkis. So then we assume that they have a right to take more time off. They can say the whole benching, and they can say hamoitzi, and they can take more time. Shalos can bench mezumin. Shalos can bench mezumin. The Mishnah Berurah has the machlokes achrayim. But they should bench mezumin. What's a shaila? If mezumin is only the rabbanon, so mistama, we should leave it out. Takes a little more time, so we should leave it out, like we leave out our Teva Meitiv. If Mizumin is their Isa, then Mistama, it's not right to leave it out, because the Gemara seems to say on Daf Mem Vav that Rabbi Kivega quoted that the only thing that we allow you to leave out, to delete completely, is our Teva Meitiv, which is the Rabbanim. If something were their Isa, you wouldn't leave it out. So that's Mistama, the deal that the Achrenim have, whether Mizumin is their Isa or the Rabbanim. The Gemara learns that. How do you know there's a din of Birchas HaZimun? So the Gemara learns it out from a Pasuk. Yishem Hashem Ekro, Hover Go to Lavatein. So the shaila is that a real drasha gemurah there, right? Or perhaps that's only an asmach. That's a shaila. There's a famous shach in Choshen Mishpat of all places. The shach in Choshen Mishpat says that mezumin is their ice. Says that birchas hazimun is their ice. I think we want to discuss it, no? Because the gemara says that if you steal a mitzvah from somebody, so there's a penalty mid the rabbanon that you have to pay asor zehuvin. The gemara has a dinner if somebody shechts a chicken, so he has to do kisui hadam. Says no chumash. And who has the schus to do this mitzvah? The shochet. Misha shochet yichase. The one who did the shchita has the schus, he has the right to do the mitzvah. Unless he wants to be mechabit somebody else, then it's a machlokes haposkim. Is it improper to be mechabit somebody else or not? I think in the maaseh they're makel. That the shochet are sometimes mechabit others to do the mitzvah. But they have the schus. If they want to, they have the right to do the kisui hadam. The Gemara tells a story. Somebody shechted a chicken, and another person wanted to have the schus of doing the mitzvah, so he didn't ask permission from the shochet, just ran over and he took the sawdust and he made kisui hadam on top and on bottom, said the bracha, and took it with the mitzvah from the shochet. So the Gemara says that they penalized the ganef. What are they going to make him pay? What is it to do over here? So they penalized the ganef, they made him pay asara zehuvin, 10 golden coins. It's a penalty. Asara zehuvin. So the Gemara, to the shochet from whom they stole the mitzvah. So the Gemara clears Ashayle, is the Asara Zehuvin penalty 10 golden coins for a mitzvah? If you steal one mitzvah, so you pay 10 golden coins? Or is it 10 golden coins per bracha? Let's say you steal a mitzvah that has more than one bracha. Maybe then you should have to pay 10 golden coins per bracha. So my nafkimina, the Gemara says, let's say they have a dinner and they called up a mechabit so-and-so that he should bench mezumin. So another wise guy says, why did mechabit him? It should be mechabit me. He grabbed the bech and he starts saying Rabbi Samuel on the bench and everybody answers. And he says the bech is amazin. And the practice was Bizmana Gemara that the one who recites the bech, when you bench mezumin, only the one who's benching mezumin says the benching. Nobody else says anything, they just say amen. So the one who bench mezumin, the Gemara says, stole four brachas from the one whom they were mechabit. Four brachas, so the shaila was, but there's only one mitzvah of benching. So does the ganef have to pay 10? He certainly has to pay something. So the shaila is, does he pay 10 zehuvim because he stole one mitzvah? Or does he pay 40 zuhum? So it's a deal in the Gemara. So the Shach break that kasha. Why not pay 50? You have benching always has four brachas like we just said. As on a sakol and noyde l'chor and rachem and atayva meitiv. And then the mezumin. Let's say I walk in and a group of people are benching mezumin. They just said, Bosh chal mishlav tivu chayinu. So I say Amen. That's also considered a bracha. So the Shach asks the Kasha, why not pay 50 zehuvim? If you're paying already 10 zehuvim per bracha, pay 50. So the Shach answers, Avada, you pay 40, not 50. You don't pay for Atoiv Ametiv. The 40 that you pay for is the first one. Atoiv Ametiv is not deraisa. You only pay for a mitzvah deraisa that you stole. How does he get this idea? Because Taisa says in Chulin, and that pay zayin and perik kisui adam. When the Gemara has this whole story that somebody stole the kisui adam from the shevet and they penalized him that he should pay 10 zuvim, so the Taisa has a shaila. They called up Yamoi Pliny Hakoyim. For Kriyas HaTorah, Monday morning, so he called up a Kohen. So one wise guy was angry at the Gabbai, why didn't he give me an Aliyah? He wasn't Bechlal a Kohen. He wasn't a Kohen. So he went up and he got the Aliyah. He said the Brachas and he stole the Aliyah. Yisrael stole the Aliyah from a Kohen. His mom Baliyah Tesis. They had the same kind of Balabatim happening. One of the Balabatim stole the Aliyah from the... I'm not talking about the Bnei Torah, I'm talking about Balabatim. So one of the Balabatim stole an Aliyah from the Kohen. So Tesis has a shayla, maybe he has to pay Asorah Zehuvim. So, oh, that's the shayla. So Tesis says, well, as far as the Kriyas HaTorah is concerned, it doesn't matter who says and who's listening, everybody's here to the Kriyas HaTorah. So for that he doesn't have to pay. Aye, but he stole the mitzvah that the Kohen is supposed to go first. It says, V'kidashta v'choldova shebikdusha l'ftach rishon l'vrach rishon, that it's a mitzvah men HaTorah to be mechavad the Kohen with the first aliyah. So he stole that mitzvah from the Kohen. Tesis says, that's only an asmachta b'yam. That's not what it means, v'kidashta. V'kidashta n'chumish means a different thing. It says that the Kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha. And if the Kohen married a grusha, v'kidashto, you should force him to divorce the grusha. If the Kohen girl marries an almana, it says v'kidashto, the Gemara says in Yivamas Daf Zayin, v'kidashto bal korchoi, you should force him to become a Kohen Kodesh, to divorce the zayna, to divorce the grusha, to divorce the chalola. That's what it means. But the fact that you have to be mechaber the Kohen, get the first aliyah, Taisus says that's only an asmachtam of the Rabbon. So the Shach says that what Taisus says is an Islam itoi, that on a mitzvah of the Rabbanon you don't penalize him. And that's the answer to this Gemara. Why does he pay? The Rabbi used to tell us over the Shach, so Shach and Chosh Mishpat. The end of Chosh Mishpat, tucked away the end of Chosh Mishpat. That why does the Gemara say that you pay 40? Why not pay 50? So he says, no, you only pay for the Mezumin is one, and for the first three brachas, Atev Ametev, you don't pay. So the Shach has a Chidish Nifla, the bench of Mezumin, is there Isa? So that's the deal. And Achreinim have a machlag in the Mishnah Berurah, quotes on this Simon. And Simon Kuf Tzadik Aleph, whether the Poilim bench Mezumin or not. If Mezumin is their Isa, then it's not right to chop out the Mezumin. If Mezumin is only the Rabbanon, then it's like a Teva Ametiv, so you can delete it, the base Apoilim.
You say the
Shach
based on the
Tosfos.
The Tosfos didn't hold the Teva Ametiv, right?
No.
That's what the
No, we'll get it. Yes, a different kasha. No, the Gemara says Mefurish HaTeva Ametiv is the Rabbanan. And the Raya is that you leave it out completely. We'll get it. Din HaShas has a different kasha. Gemara in the first parak in Shabbos, that the Dayanim should sit Biatifo when they're paskin a Gedinter out of Kovar Ashtina. Because the Kim Nitzah Ba'adas Kel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present helping out the Dayanim to paskin properly, that you shouldn't make a mistake. So because of Kovar Ashtina, so the Gemara says the Dayanim should wear the talis Ba'atifo. So he wants to describe what does it mean, that's if you're wearing a talis. Wear the talis over your head. What if the Dayanim are not wearing a talis when they have a din Torah? So he says they should put on their top hat. So he wants to describe what does it mean to put on their top hat. So he says, like when we daven Mincha Ma'ariv. That's what he writes. Like when we daven Mincha Ma'ariv, we wear the top hat. So obviously when they daven Shacharis, they didn't wear the hat. They wore the talis over the head. They didn't wear a hat. He lived in Frankfurt. He was the Rebbe in Frankfurt. And his times, he writes, that the minhag was that for Shacharis they wore the talis over the head. And then for Mincha Ma'ariv they wore a hat. But that's what the Taisis points out, that this is the chiluk between a mikbas and a mitznefes. That the mikbas of the Kohen Hedyot was larger than that of the Kohen Gadol. Because the only room that was taken up was the makom of the tefillin. Then he had the mikbas right away. And the mitznefes was shorter because he had to have it sits, and then the tefillin, and then the mitznefes.
Anybody want to go tomorrow?
You'll keep it going. Oh, come on. You're getting lazy by the day. Shame on you.